great. We're on. We're ready to go. So Sunday morning, as a worship leader, that dreaded feeling, well, I get that dreaded feeling. I'm not sure about the other worship leaders, but that dreaded feeling. I haven't got an action song ready. And so for about 30 minutes to an hour, I'm racking my brain. Which one haven't we done in the last 3 or 4 months? We've done them all so many times. But we do it because we want our children to grow up in the knowledge of who God is. We do it because of the joy of seeing on their faces that moment when the host says, it's time for an action song. And this morning wasn't particularly a great morning for seeing the cuds. Sarah was doing the action, so well done, Sarah. Great work. But normally there's a flood of children running forward. They all want to get to the front. Why? Because they can now see themselves on the screen behind. It feels like they're on TV. The excitement of worshiping Jesus. And that's why we do it. And if we could, we'd do action songs all morning, but I suspect you'd be exhausted by the end of it. But in any case, it's a great opportunity for our kids to participate in worshiping Jesus. And that's what we want to teach them. That's what we want to show them. And so this morning, it wasn't my time to lead worship, but I had an action song in my mind. The action song all through history. Now, we're not going to do it. You're all thinking, Pete's now thinking, what are those chords again? And action songs do have a significant increased number of chords than every other Christian song that we do, so it's always a bit more complex and challenging for me, at least, as a guitarist. Anyway, all through history, you know it well. And I obviously wanted to cater a little bit for some of the children that might be here this morning in terms of what I wanted to share with you today. But it could be an historical day. I don't know what the score is, but there is a match happening in Australia right now, which most of the UK is probably watching right now, hoping that it is an historical moment, a historical day. And we love to report and write on history, don't we? It's something we enjoy doing. We love to talk about things of old and things gone by. And today, I thought I'd remind us of a few historical moments through using the song All Through History. Okay, but I'll start with a couple of verses from the Psalms, if I can. And I'm going to click on. Boo. I tell you what, when I do that, you press go. Nope. Almost. No, it's not working. All right, just click me through. It's all right. There's only 6 slides. We've crashed. Oh, even worse. The dreaded crash. Okay, I'll read out the verses whilst the guys reboot. So it's from Psalm 109. If you've got an old-fashioned Bible, if you bring that to church with you, or if you've got various apps on your phone, you can turn to Psalm 119. It's a particularly long psalm. We're not going to do it. Oh, here it is. We're not going to do it all this morning, but we're going to focus on approximately 8 verses. So here we go. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. His word is firmly fixed. That is a rock of our salvation, the rock beneath our feet. It's what we can stand on, his firm, fixed word. It's unshakable. It's immovable from generation to generation. God owns history. It's his story. He owns history. So we can talk about these moments that we like to report on and write about, but actually, God sees the whole of history. And God is part from the very beginning to where we are now, to the future. Praise his holy name that his word is firmly fixed. And it's firmly fixed in our lives. And I'll talk a little bit about some of those verses that come back to us. You know those moments when you're walking through life? It might, wherever you might be, and suddenly a verse springs to mind. You know those moments If it's God's word firmly fixed in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, his faithfulness endures. We've heard that today. Everlasting. It's never-ending. It's unstoppable. His faithfulness endures forever. Everlasting. And it stands to this day. We are the beneficiaries of his faithfulness. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing to know that we, as we've heard this morning from Mum's testimony, his faithfulness remains from generation to generation. His precepts or his commands bring life. Now, we often think of rules and regulations as doing the exact opposite. It's stopping us from having fun. Now, I have a confession this morning, church. I have a confession to make to you. I attended a speed awareness course just 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't my first speed awareness course. I should know by now that there are specific rules set up in our land to help us. But one of the first things they ask you when you attend the speed awareness course, for those of you who haven't done it, who are model drivers of this on our roads, for those of you who haven't attended it, the first question they ask is, why did you speed? What was it? They're trying to understand your psychology when you're driving on the roads of Wales or wherever you may be. And quite often the response comes back, well, I was running late, I put my foot down, I didn't think about it. Or other people might sometimes say, I was under pressure from the car behind. You know that feeling? You're going the speed limit. And this is even more relevant now in Wales than ever before, right? When the speed limits have now been reduced to 20 miles an hour. I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues this week about the fact that it's now even more complicated to figure out what speed limit you're supposed to be going on the streets of Wales. Now, of course, having attended the speed awareness course, I can tell you all the signs to look out for, but I won't go into that today. However, I will say that the speed limits are there for a reason. Now, if everyone was going the same speed limit, it would be that much easier, right? So, again, part of my job is about looking forward and thinking about a world of autonomous vehicles. Can you imagine this? No longer are humans driving behind the wheel. And if you're into these sort of technology developments, you'll have seen all sorts of footage of people behind the wheel of an autonomous car. Have you seen people in videos behind the wheel of an autonomous car? It is scary when the steering wheel's doing this and that. And I know that we've all got different technology in our car that helps and enables us to hopefully avoid crashes. But technology is changing. It's rapidly changing. But actually, if everyone was going the same speed limit, actually, it would be somewhat freeing, right? In theory, there would be a lot less traffic on the roads in the sense that it's all flowing at the same speed. And that's probably one of the reasons why they introduce all these various different speed limits. But my key point here is speed limits are nothing like God's commands, right? God's commands bring freedom and release because he designates and shows us the way to live. His word is full of examples of how we as Christians ought to live. Now, those rules and regulations are not brought about to tell us where we've gone wrong, why we've gone wrong, but to free us into realizing the joy of being his children and walking in his way, in his footsteps. So praise God for his commands, which bring life and not death. So, you're all thinking it. You mentioned the song All Through History. How is he going to bring this in? Well, here we go. In the song All Through History, there are four... I'm going to click on. Here we go. Now. There we go. There are four examples that we sing about. The example of Noah, the example of Moses, the example of David, and the example of Daniel. Now, why do we sing these songs, and why do we encourage our children to participate and do all the actions? And I can never keep up with all the actions. I'm always about a second behind where I should be, which makes it even worse for people watching, because it really is quite off-putting. You know when you don't know the actions and you're having to watch somebody? Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't look great. So praise God, we've got some people who know the actions brilliantly well in our church and set a great standard for us as we worship God together. But the reason we sing of these examples is that these are just ordinary people, right? Living ordinary lives. But God has used them and given us great examples of how to stand up against opposition and to have faith in God. Now, Noah was in an evil world with sin all around, entangled by sin. And we know that God brought rescue from that sin. God brought rescue. That's what he did. The example of Noah teaches us that God can bring rescue from times of sin. And it was through Noah's faithfulness and obedience that he was able to see the victory, right? And we saw that God rescues him from this world of sin because he trusted in God. Now, a very practical and simple example for us. We will face opposition. We will face times of great sin and difficulties in our earth. Now, you only have to look at certain social media clips and news reels about the sin that entangles our earth, that entangles our world. God brings the rescue. He calls us to be faithful to him and to turn our eyes towards heaven. Now, if you think about it, in a day and age, I know it's hard to think that there wasn't any rain in the land for many, many days, and we're quite used to rain, and a lot of rain in our country. But Noah stood against great opposition. Great opposition. People laughing at him. People mocking him for his faith in God. Now, how many times has that happened to us in our days? Sometimes? A little time? I don't know. Certainly, I find when I'm in and around those who don't believe in God, there are moments where my faith is challenged, where my faith is questioned. Particularly, I find in the office as well, when there are certain topics that come up. You know what it's like on a Monday morning. People want to recall the weekend and what's gone on. And there are times when our faith is brought into question. And we have a choice as to whether we stand up like Noah did and say, no, I'm going to fight and stay strong in what God has shown me. And that's where your faith builds, right? Because you realize it's not about what's seen here on the earth, but it's what's unseen. And we trust in a God who sees it all and knows how to bring rescue from sin. Our second example from the song, All Through History, is Moses, who's dealing with bringing people out of slavery. And God brought freedom. God brought the freedom that those people needed. There was a deep conviction and faith in Moses' plans. He had conviction that this was what God had called him to do, despite the opposition up front and the difficulty he didn't believe he could bring about this change. He didn't believe he had the strength to stand up, but God showed him. And we are taught quite regularly. We've heard an example this morning. We often feel we're not up to it. We're not good enough. We can't stand in the gap. But actually, God has equipped you, for each one of you, for the lives that you live, for the people that you meet, for the workplaces that you're in, for the houses and homes and flats that you live in. God equips you for your need. He meets you where you're at and gives you the strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. God brings the freedom. And the third example we see is David, who stands up against this tyrant, Goliath. Now, over the years, as a kid growing up in church and learning the story of David and Goliath, it's one of my favorites, right? The underdog defeats this great, mighty man in Goliath. I love the story of an underdog winning. Don't we all? We love that story of an underdog suddenly coming from nowhere. Well, David was the greatest underdog of all. There was no way in the physical that David could even contemplate taking down Goliath. Now, you might say, and I hope what this does is encourages you to think about your own life. There are times when Goliath stand in the way of our own lives, of our own steps forward. And it's by faith that we move forward, trusting God, that God would bring the victory. God brought the victory for David over Goliath. It was nothing of David, but it was the power of God at work within David that caused him to see the victory, because God brought the victory through David's courage, and the courage was needed to step out in opposition to what he saw in front of him. Now again, I liken that to our own lives. There are times, and I look back on my own life, there are times when there are Goliaths in the way, and I think, Lord, there's no way in the physical that I can move forward. Now, if you're like me, you try and solve the problem, right? I've said this to you on several occasions, but I'm by nature a problem solver. I like solving problems. And I've learned over the years with Becky that sometimes she doesn't want her problem solved. As much as I might like to try and solve my wife's problems, there are times when she just wants me to listen. And I think God, sometimes I find the same thing, that I try and, in my own strength, solve problems or stand up against the Goliath. And it only ends badly. It's not the right way. It's not the way that God has intended. God intends us to look to Him. That's what He called us to do, to look to Him first and foremost. He brings about the victory, not us. It is impossible without God. It is impossible without God. So let's just remember that God brought rescue from sin for Noah. God brought freedom for the people with Moses. And God brought the victory for David through his courage as he stood up to his Goliath. And then the fourth example, of course, is Daniel, where we saw the world, a world of idolatry and sin. God brought about godliness through Daniel's willingness to stand up against the greatest of opposition. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like for Daniel to be told you can't pray to your God? And then to do it in the full light of everybody around, to stand up against immense pressure, knowing that on the face of it, in the physical world, going into a lion's den isn't going to end well, right? That's not going to be an ending that I'd like to be part of, right? But to know that my faith in God is so strong that I can go into a lion's den and walk out without any spot, any blemish, any injury. I probably would have tripped up falling into the lion den. But Daniel knew by faith, he had strength and belief in God, that he, God, would fight what was becoming the new norm in Daniel's society at his moment, at his time. Now I find, I don't know if it's similar for you, but I find in life, slowly that new norm seeps in around us. Sin so easily entangles us. And it might be the office talk. It might be the conversations that you're part of in your neighborhoods. It might be the online messages that come through. Sin so easily entangles and seeps in and gets into our hearts, into our lives. And we can only turn to God in those moments and pray for His strength to stand up in opposition. And God does call us as Christians to stand up against the opposition, to fight what's perceived to be the normal way of life. Our eyes should be fixed on Jesus. So there are the four examples. There are the four things that we sing about when we sing about the song All Through History. The kids, don't worry about it, the kids are enjoying All Through History. It's great to see our kids active and involved and part of church. You know, I love, we heard, I'm sure Steve won't mind me saying, but we heard a testimony of his son Elisha last week singing one of the songs from Sunday morning that evening before going to bed and recalling every word. Why does that happen? Because they're hearing it here. It's an encouragement to see our children enjoying being at church, you know, isn't it? I mean, incredible to know that children want to be here with us celebrating the love of Jesus and growing up in the knowledge of who He is. Last weekend, last Sunday, we got to hear from three of the young people about their own personal testimonies. How amazing was that? To hear that God's at work in those who are young, as well as some of us who are older. Now, God never stops from the very youngest to the very oldest. God is always at work. But sometimes we don't see it on the outside, right? And this is what gets me. Sometimes with friends and family members, you think nothing's happening. But on the inside, God is at work. And I certainly saw that with my children last weekend, to hear that God has got them. And as much as I might worry and be concerned about my children as they grow up in a world of sin and difficulties and problems, I know that God has them in the palm of His hand. And that's the only prayer I can offer. Lord, I pray for our children that they would grow up in the knowledge of who You are, that they'd be safe and secure in a world that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy their faith. But we know that God has our children in the palm of His hand. And we continually pray. We even prayed again for the prodigals last Sunday, for those that have walked with us and perhaps are distant now. We pray and we continually lift them up before God, knowing that He has them and their lives in the palm of His hand. Church, let's keep praying. Let's keep looking to Him for guidance for our children. I'm going to move on to my last few slides. Living by faith is the first one. There it is. We read in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. To have faith in things that is not seen, that's hard, right? Much easier to think, to see things and act. Much harder to have faith in things that are unseen. For we walk by faith and not by sight, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Psalm 37, 5. We are called to be a people who live by faith. Now, of course, it's important that we respond. God wants us to be a church that responds to him. He loves it when we come together in worship times that we have. And even when we're chatting after our meeting and having coffee together, that is pleasing to God, to see the fellowship at work within his people, to see the discipleship in the homes, in the life groups that we have together, where we're able to maybe chat in a bit more depth. You know, I was going to tell you a little bit later on, but I'll tell you now, the times I look back on in our home when we've shared very deep and close, intimate things in our lives that we've needed prayer for, and we've seen God respond. To hear testimonies each Sunday, oh boy, does it fill you up, doesn't it? You go away from here thinking, wow, Lord God, what an amazing God you are. It's greatly encouraging to see Mum come forward this morning and to hear her testimony. And God will continue to be at work in her life and within Dad's life. I've had a very unique week this week. Unique week this week. I actually got to spend a few days with Mum and Dad, just me. Really strange. It's been about X number of years, more than 20, since I actually spent some time with Mum and Dad on my own like that, because Becky had gone down to see her dad and taken the girls down to Kent. And so I was with Mum and Dad down in Minehead whilst working. But to have a few moments hearing their faith, chatting to them about things going on in their lives, and to be able to enjoy together times of discussion and fellowship and just being together. That's encouragement. It's an encouragement to me. It's encouragement to all of us when we spend time together. And when I look back at some of our life groups that we've had where we've shared very important things happening in our lives, how often do you get to do that? You know, life goes by so quick. You know, it feels like it's Sunday morning again and I've got Monday morning to look forward to tomorrow morning. Now, I actually enjoy my work, so I'm one of these random people that when the alarm clock goes on a Monday morning, I actually do look forward to going into the office. Sadly for me, on a Monday, there's not many people in the office. In fact, some Mondays, it's just me, which is also quite sad and embarrassing. And I get my energy from people. I like to be around people. So the opportunity to work in an office is a big plus for me. So we talk a lot about hybrid working and remote working, people working from their desks at home. That really bores me. I've got no interest in doing that. Why? Because I feel disconnected. It's my home. I don't want to be working in my home. And I like seeing people. I like talking. I like hearing what's going on. So it's been a strange period of time for me in adjusting my life in a working context. The same for all of us. And my encouragement, I see it with some of my team. I can see them not feeling great, feeling isolated, feeling lonely. And my encouragement to them is to come into the office. Just spend almost every time someone comes into the office, they go away feeling positive. Why? Because they've spent time with other people. They've engaged. They've been part of. They've seen something positive in what's going on in our office, in our work. And that's just work. How much more when people join together as the body of Christ? And we're constantly encouraged to spend time together. So what does it mean to live a life of faith? Well, it means to be looking to him, to fix our eyes upon Jesus, for his answers, for his responses, to be trusting in him, to stand up for what is right and what is true, and to have courage to believe that God is with you. John Piper says, Christians do not just go to work, they go to work with God. They do not just do a job, they do their job with God. Isn't that incredible? Very simple. But let me say it again. Christians do not just go to work, they go to work with God. They do not just do a job. They do their job with God. How encouraging is that? I like to think that God's there in the office, in the classroom, in the shop, in the restaurant, in the gym, in the stadium, in the car, lorry, bus, van, wherever it is that you do your work, God is there with you. When I press that number 12 button in the lift and I go up to my office, God is with me in that lift. Those first initial conversations I have on a Monday morning with my colleagues. When I walk through the door and I try and find a desk that might be free, God is with me. When that email comes in and I'm greatly frustrated at a problem that's occurred over the last week, God is with me. When my website goes down for an entire day, as it did about a week and a half ago, and there's panic stations set across the entire office, God is with me. When I go home and I've had a very stressful day and it's getting late into the evening and all I want to do is crash on the sofa, God is with me. When I pull up on my drive and I see the lights on in the house and the kids running around, no doubt having loads of fun and excitement, God is with me. When I put my key in the door and I open the door and the kids run up to me and expect me to be the life and soul of the party, the energy of the kids, okay, it's just Bethany now. Emily and Lydia, not so much, but I'm sure they don't mind me saying. But Bethany, particularly, she'll run up to the front door. Dad, you're home. God is with me. He gives me the strength to be able to enjoy those moments of being together. All that we do, God is with us. Let us never forget that. It's so easily forgotten on a Monday morning, on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Thursday morning, whatever it may be. It's so easily forgotten, but God is with us. There it is. The righteous will live by faith. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's Romans 1:17. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. But my righteous one shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. That's what we're called to live by faith. Our faith is in God, knowing that He, and only He, will bring us through. He brings the rescue. He brings the victory. He brings the solution to our problems. The joy of living by faith is that it creates incredible testimonies. Now, let me encourage you. I don't think our church needs encouragement, but I'm going to encourage you anyway. Come forward with your testimonies. You don't have to come forward here. I know this is sometimes difficult to stand in front of people with a big screen and your face on it and a microphone. It's not the easiest thing to do. But let me encourage you. The church needs and wants to hear your testimonies. So if it might be in a life group setting, you might feel more confident. Share your testimonies of what God's doing. Don't feel shy or feel that, well, my story doesn't really count, or it was a bit of a coincidence. We need to be talking and telling each other testimonies. Why? Because the world tells everything anti-testimony, goes against everything that God is doing in us. And if we're not shouting aloud about what God is doing, who is? We are ambassadors whilst here on earth. We are ambassadors, God's ambassadors. And therefore, it's important that we share our testimonies together and to be encouraged by what God is doing in our lives. Never be shy or slow to share. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18, light and momentary afflictions is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient. They're over, they're gone. But the things unseen are eternal. That's what I'm pressing in for. The eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What a prize. What a promise, as we heard this morning. The promises of God. These light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Now, I'm going to close here because it's August time, and we all know that it's not right to preach too long during August. Partly because a lot of people are away on holiday, and partly because our children are doing brilliantly at entertaining themselves, and we don't have children's works during the August period. So I'm going to bring it to a close. But I like to bring a bit of some thinking at the end of a sermon. So here's some thoughts I've had as I've finished preparing my sermon. So first and foremost, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. I mentioned earlier that Becky had taken the children down to see her dad, and they got the incredible opportunity to go back to her childhood home. Now, Becky loves houses. In fact, even, she won't mind me saying, but last week she was walking the dog, and one of the neighbors, five or six doors down, had been doing some work on the house, and she came back and said, you wouldn't believe it, but I got chatting to the lady, she invited me in. So me and Bethany with the dog just been looking around our house for the last hour. Like, who does that? A random stranger walking past your house, and she starts engaging them in conversation, and all of a sudden she's been invited in to have a cup of tea and coffee, and look around the house. That's just Becky, right? That's just not me. That's Becky. So she got the opportunity to go back to her childhood home and take the girls and show them the house that she grew up in, and she walked through. It was very weird going back, and it was quite bare because there was no one living there at the moment. But she could remember memories going through the house. And she reminded me of this verse this week: the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Why? Because her mum used to hang that verse on the bathroom door. And I always remember that verse. Little things, little Bible verses that mean so much, that you recall all these years on. She's faithfully served God and gave her all. And those little verses still trigger me. And I remember as a kid growing up seeing our Bible verses on the fridge that Mum used to so diligently write out. And we try and do that now with our children, just writing out Bible verses. Why? Because it's a reminder. It refreshes you. When it's been a tough day, you read that verse and it comes back to memory. I want to give credit to our children's workers this morning, who spend hour after hour creating ways to engage our children. New ways all the time, right? You just have to look behind you. Look at all the pictures on that window behind. I'm getting to see it. You're not getting to see it. But all those pictures are from pictures from children who are hearing about the Word of God and the love of the Father toward them. We heard this morning from Alan and Chris about the impact they've seen in just 1 week on all these children. God loves children, has a plan and purpose for these children. I give credit to our children's workers for putting in the hours so that one day those kids would come through and trust him wholeheartedly. So here's my three questions for you to ponder this morning. And I'm going to invite the band back, actually, as I just quickly go through these three questions. What's the cry of your heart today? It says there that his ears are open unto their cry. God hears our cries. You might not think it, but God hears our cries. God is at work in our lives. He sees us, he understands what we're going through, and he's ready to intercede. Let's be aware what our cry is, first and foremost. What is our cry this morning? What is the cry of your heart deep within? What are you praying persistently for today? It might be for salvation for a friend. It might be for a difficulty, as I put in that second question. What opposition do you face that you need to commit to God? This might be something work-related. It might be something in your neighborhood. It could be anything, but what opposition do you face that you need to commit to God? And thirdly, how can we as a church support you and pray with you? That's why we're here, right? We're here to worship God first and foremost and to serve the body of Christ wholeheartedly. And that means being prepared to pray, being prepared to be there for people in their hour of need. And I know my brothers and sisters, they'd run a mile, whatever it took, to come and help, to come and support, to come and pray with you, to come and listen to you. Trust me, there's nothing greater than when you can be a listening ear or a helping friend in those moments of need, right? We all know we need it. It might be a simple text. Let me encourage you this week. If you've got opposition, if you're struggling, send a text to your friend, to somebody you know, either connected in the church or wherever you might know, and say, can you help? Could you pray with me? Could you commit this week to praying with me? Trust me, it works. Prayer works. I want to encourage you to send a text this week. If you've got some opposition, send a text to a friend. Say, can you pray with me? We need it, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to close and hand back to the band, but as I close, I'm going to close in prayer this morning and say, Father, we just want to praise your holy name, that you are attentive to our cry and that your eyes are on your people. Oh, Lord, we don't deserve it. At times, Lord, we mess up. I mess up, Lord God. I think I can do it my own way. In my own strength. But, Lord, you show us it's in your way, in your time. And you are the God of the impossible. Lord, what you've been doing in Mum, Lord, we are just so amazed. Thank you, Father, for your continued strength in her. Thank you, you've been working in her. You've been helping her and dad together. And I pray, Lord God, that this would just be the start. And Lord, there's so many people here this morning, I'm certain of it, that face opposition. And Lord, help us to turn our eyes towards Jesus. Help us to commit that over to you right now. To lay it all down at the foot of your cross. To hand it over to you, Lord, and trust in Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to you, God, and nowhere else. We trust you, and we commit our lives afresh to you again this morning. What a faithful and loving God you are. Amen.